is up, CB?
Nothing much. We're doing it. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. Yes. We are live right now. If you're listening a few days later, of course, the audio and the video recording will be out and available. But we're heading to the top of the eighth right now in the ODU-JMU game. ODU is up 4-2. We can't show the game. We're not even really supposed to talk that much about it, but we'll be creative here today. Only two more innings to go, and we've already won the series anyway.
How do I, as a person here, share this and make sure people that are currently out there know? Do I need to go to the Monica's page, and does it show that we're live?
Yes, anyone subscribed to us on YouTube will get an alert, and Instagram Live as well. So we should be fully covered today.
I will share the link on the YouTube on the Facebook for the olds.
Maybe the Twitter
for the olds.
Whoever it is, I finally have an Instagram now, and I was having fun with metal songs and pictures of our pitchers this week. So got a little weed eater today for Blake, and he's been pretty good. What, 5 1/3? I think.
Yes.
Two earned?
I think it's 5 2/3, I think. Yeah, he's pretty solid here. Yeah, I had the box up a second ago myself somewhere in my many things. I think he did 5 1/3. You're right. And Kellen got 2. And then Nick Sulpizio, who's on a little streak here all of a sudden.
I mean, he's looking all right. He's finally getting some arms to bounce back at the right time, which I think is pretty key.
It's kind of feels like it's all kind of coming together, like we're playing baseball all of a sudden.
Hey, and a good time of year to start doing it. And I see that our links are working because there are people popping in here.
We love that.
Welcome everyone that has just joined us. We are watching the game live. We can't show it, but ODU is up 4-2 in the top of the eighth. Already has the series in the bag, but really helpful for us if we can win this last one. It gets a 15 wins with one series to go.
Yeah, well, this weekend's gone pretty well as far as the other teams helping. Not just ODU doing their job, but other teams. Like, we needed was Georgia Southern to win 2 out of 3 against Texas State, so that way they didn't get too far ahead. And that's exactly how that worked, and some of the other ones worked out. It's been going well this weekend for what we needed to have happen.
Yeah, if I knew that, I just need to tweet about what ODU baseball needs to. Right? I would have started doing this a long time ago. But
yeah, we've been doing that the first week of the season.
Yeah, put out a tweet yesterday. It was, who do you need to root for? ODU, obviously. South Alabama to win 2, Troy and Texas State. We hit the whole parlay there, the whole thing cashed. So today it's really just we need to win. There are some things that could help us, but like App State losing would, I think, officially put them out from getting in the top 5 or 6. But they've lost 11 in a row now. They are in a tailspin at the moment.
Which is, they're a good team. We saw them. They played us well. And, it's crazy what can happen with these streaks.
Yes. I see Aaron Zielinski is there in the comments watching on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it these days.
Nice little walk for Teron Hammond. Teron Hammond, after not playing for a few weeks, he's played this week. He's done really well.
Yes. Yeah, he's been he's been awesome. I think it's because we had him on the show. He's had a great weekend.
It is.
I was worried this thing would become a curse for whatever player joined, but it seems to have the opposite effect this year.
I mean, now that you've named it, it will be. There's a nice bunt for Evan. Oh, that's going to be a hit for Evan. There we go.
Right.
Nice bunt for Evan.
You're clearly ahead of me by a few seconds on the broadcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hope I'm not. If I'm ruining it for anyone, I'm just going to ruin it in the nice things. I'll ruin the nice things. Yeah, nice. Evan probably going for just a sacrifice bunt and got it right past the pitcher and into that no man's land triangle. Yeah, here's a nice review of it. Oh, beautiful. The first baseman kind of made the right move that turned out to be the wrong move.
Up, up, up. No one covering. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, Luke Waters is someone we're going to have to talk about a lot.
Woo!
Because he has awoken this weekend. He was, 5 for 5 yesterday, led off today's game with a hit. Had the game winner on Friday night, driving in 2 runs in the 12th to put us up.
3 hits in that game. Yeah, he's 1 for 3 today. I mean, let me see. I was getting together our, because we like to get our numbers for guys. I've already made the graphic with Luke as the hitter of the week because, I mean, come on. coming into the game, he was 8 for 13. So let's see. So now he'd be 9 for 16 on the week with a double, 2 homers, 5 RBIs. Yeah, four RBIs, three walks. Yeah.
I mean, hell of a week for Luke. And the ESPN Plus have been talking about him and, of course, his dad, Roger Waters, who played football at JMU right. department for a while. They've been kind of seeking him out on camera. I feel like every opportunity they get.
Luke he was wearing the Bud Bomber shirt yesterday.
Yes, yeah. He's always been a big supporter of us, always a nice guy. I'm pretty sure he's bought me a beer awesome or two. Folks.
We've got another Del Mar High School kid. I think he's a 26 grad that, you know, Roger coaches obviously up there, is coming to ODU in another year. So we're not going to stop the train of the great kids from the Eastern Shore.
Yeah, if we can get some more like Luke, that would be awesome. Yeah. But, man, just overall this weekend, I mean, we were up against it a little bit, I felt like, on Friday. Anytime you go to extras, I feel like the advantage is always to the home team because they hit last. And our bullpen did a tremendous job throughout that game to keep it tied, keep us in it, and then ultimately hold on for 12 innings to get us through that. Big day for bullpen.
Ethan Hubble just getting better and better as the season goes on. I mean, he came up big. He had some, you know, in the midst of three scoreless innings, he had some pitches that looked terrible. You know, he had one pitch. I think it's one of the best pitches I've ever seen. It was that kind of, I don't know if it's a curveball slider that came in, and the right-handed batter looked like his knees were shaking. He thought it was going to hit him in his back, and it loops in there. And it's, I mean, really, like, probably the best pitch Ethan's ever thrown in his life. And then immediately after, he probably trying to do the same thing, kind of overcooks it, throws it too far, and it's way far down and away. So he had some, it might have been effectively wild. He had some really good pitches in the midst of some bad pitches, but three scoreless when you needed. And you saw his emotion at the end of the game, which, you know, is that's not something I've seen out of Ethan all year. So it was awesome to see him hype in a big moment.
Yeah, you know, that whole
up, fellas. Right there on the screen. Look at us.
Yeah, I forgot that I can add the comments to the screen. So if you're watching us on any of the social media platforms, feel free to drop us a question, topic to chat about. We just kind of wanted to hang out. And the reason we're having to do this on a Sunday is solely because of my dumb work travel. I have to fly tomorrow. We normally be recording. We've got a midweek game for now on Tuesday. So no real chance to record this any other way. But we wanted to try it live, see what happened. Yeah, it's just hold on. Another two innings here. We'll be in good shape.
Yeah, we're in it. Well, we got runners first and second, no outs. We got George, who's had a nice week up. You know, George has had a great season. I mean, the strikeout total is high. I know that's been, you know, some of the people love to complain all the time. That's been a complaint. It was easy one to target because he's got, you know, almost probably 60 strikeouts. But he's been a he's been a very good player. He's pretty much second in like every stat, you know, he's just good. And putting him in center field has been huge because he's definitely our best fielder.
He covers a ton of ground in center field, and looking at him, you wouldn't think he's a super fast guy, but he can move in that outfield. He gets a good read, good jump, and definitely on the all mustache team.
Yeah. Yes. We got a few of those. That was a no. I noticed Alex was, he had mentioned it the other day when we talked to him, he had the Raleigh fingers kind of going.
Oh yeah. Oh, and they had like the perfect camera angle there. They were just zoomed in. You could see his whole face. It was great. And, you know, he pitched well. We're just getting a lot of guys in the bullpen stepping up in a big way.
Which where's this ball? Really nice. Dang it. Doubled off. So a little looping ball, the shortstop caught and got right back to second base for now. We got so double play. So now runner on first, two outs.
That's my fault for saying that Teron was getting a boost from being on the podcast last week. He immediately gets a double.
Well, you know, I don't. That's not even his fault. The guy, I don't think he can do. I mean, you look at where this ball is hit. He hits it, and he's just got his lead. Yeah, right there. They showed the replay. There's nothing you can do.
You got to freeze on a line drive. Yeah, he did. Yeah, nothing. He's out by four or 5 feet. Yeah,
so. Nice guy, keep it going.
Yes, I was a little surprised to see Kellen Davis come into the game today because I know he's pitched a good already this weekend, but he, you know, gave the one sack fly. They got the inherited runner in, but other than that, he was looking pretty good. His stuff has gotten so filthy. I encourage anyone, imagine Kellen be around next year, go stand behind home plate while he's pitching and you figure out what that pitch is because no one else seems to be able to.
Yeah, and now I know we talked about it. Kellen's such a great example of a kid that just showed up and worked. I mean, he came in, he was I don't think he had a scholarship. I think it was like the preferred walk-on And he redshirt. And I know that first year it was kind of like, is this kid ever going to get to pitch for us? Is this, you know, is there any future for him here? And he just kept working and working and working into where, you know, now he's the last 2 years, one of the most important pieces of the bullpen. And he's a huge bench guy. Like he's always right there cheering, and he's leading the nonsense, as I like to say, which is what you need out of the bench. And he's great for it. So it's, yeah, Kellen's just like, I mean, that's just a success story of college baseball. It's what you want to see, those guys that come in and you work your way from really not getting a chance to being a dude.
He also might be the most in shape person I've ever seen in my life. If he's got a body percentage, like a body fat percentage is under one,
it's probably negative. He probably gives fat away. He was one his first year when he wasn't playing. His role was to go down and get the foul balls, and he would always run back down the line and just do like a standing jump over the like 3 foot brick wall that, you know, I would have to like climb over slowly to make sure I didn't break something.
Well, Alec, we're not allowed to live stream the game. I wish we could. No, so if anyone asks, no, we're definitely not doing that, or play-by-play or anything of that nature. I don't want the mouse showing up at my house here.
Yeah, don't get me legally. Although I guess technically the Avengers would be suing me. Isn't that how that would, what we would call that? I wouldn't mind that on my record.
And Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, I was once sued by the Avengers and Luke Skywalker. Yeah. They had that frat. They're showing the frat alley out there in the left field, and there's no frat today. The frat boys must be they're all at church on Sunday, probably, I guess.
Yeah, there's a pupper sitting out there, though, so at least we're going to see some of that. They've had pretty good crowds, I think, up there in Harrisonburg.
They've had very nice, yeah. I have not been up there. My parents went to a game when they were playing in the Valley League, the Turks, and they said, you know, it's a nice place, and you can tell it looks nice. And I know the guys mentioned a few times that they built it up in 2010. So it's a good, I mean, JMU has good stuff, man. You know, it's I'm glad we're beating them. It's, you know, between, I think we've mentioned what we said, football and basketball, haven't beaten them since we've gotten back in the Sun Belt.
Nope. Sure. Haven't.
Nope. Sure. Haven't. So, you know, it's this rivalry that's in the big money sports, not a rivalry, but clearly here it is, you know, I mean, at least, well, I don't know the other way. Maybe it's not, because ODU baseball keeps whipping up on them, and the tennis seems to dominate them. So maybe it's a rivalry in the overall sense, because like what we say, they'd both be 11-11 in the Royal Rivalry after this if we win.
Yeah, yeah. It's ODU has 10 and JMU has 11 right now. So I guess it would technically be a tie. I have no idea if they're tiebreakers. And I will say for clarity, I didn't care when we lost that thing. I won't care if we tie it, and I also won't care if we win. Like, I can't get into the force. There's already enough of rivalry there. We don't need like a fake thing attached to it.
It's neat. I mean, it's cool to say, I guess, to say you won the Royal Rivalry, but you know, I think at the end of the day, again, if you're not winning in the big money sports, then it's like, okay, cool. I mean, JMU can always say, well, yeah, but you can't beat us in football or basketball. It's like, all right, that's fair.
It's always the excuse that Virginia gives when Tech dunks on them for football. They're like, well, we've got swimming national titles. It's like, yeah, right. You do. And that's awesome. Yeah. Should be proud of that. But
yeah,
you know, we got to do a little bit better, in my opinion, on those games.
Well, that's, you know, that's how it goes. It's not easy. It is fascinating, like, why JMU is so much better than us in the basketball and football. There's no real good reason for it.
Because they've had coaching changes. They've reloaded. They've done all those things. Yeah. Like, you know, last year for football, there was no excuse for us not to win that game, but we just didn't really show up in the second half. And I don't want to relive that. Oof.
No, I have enjoyed that. And you mentioned yesterday, the announcers in these games have been really, really good. The guys done a great job. And mentioning all the connections between the ODU and JMU coaches, you know, the Marlon Eikenberry played for Finwood, and then he coached with them. And, you know, they have all the, you know, Auburn coaching, and then bringing in Jack Slater's dad, Tom, and his VMI and Auburn coaching. It's always neat, those kind of interweaved webs.
I've learned more about VMI baseball in the last 3 days than I ever thought I would know. It's been cool to hear the connections. Yeah. I also didn't know that VMI leads the country in stolen bases.
Yes. Oh, there. And that was, I think I told you, they played up there at War Memorial and went to the game. And when I left, they were playing William & Mary. I'm about to sneeze. When they were playing William & Mary, they were losing 9-1. Oh, I left in the middle of the seventh. They ended up winning the game 12-9. VMI did on a walk-off home run. And because I remember during the game, I was like, you know, we were driving over there. I was bringing my parents, and my mom's reading off all these stats of like, you know, they're VMI's offense is like a top 10 in the country and all kinds of things. You know, their pitching obviously has left them down. That's why they kind of have a sub 500 record. But during the game, I'm thinking like, where is this? Like, you know, a few of the guys had hits, you know, but it's like, where is all this offense? And then, well, there it is. It showed up eventually. Yeah. They're, you know, and that was how it was when Hader was there. I mean, they're a very good offensive team. And if you've been to VMI, you know, the ballpark has got it's got a short porch and but that doesn't help you steal bases.
No, it was just kind of wild. Just think, you know, you've got to get enough guys on base to have the steal opportunities to begin with. So they must be pretty good on the offensive side.
Yeah. Their kid, Grayson Fitzwater from Nansen River, he's a junior. He already broke the school home run record. He plays with Pilots in the summer, and he's a really – I was talking to Hadry. He said he was like the last guy he recruited right before he left, so he never got to have him there. I was like, that's a bummer.
Yeah, Pilots are going to have some studs because we know Scotty is going to be over there this summer. I'm sure there'll be a couple other ODU guys that get over that way.
Yeah. Well, Fitzwater will be back. They have a few of the guys they've had. We saw Henry Garcia with ULM. He'll be back with them again. And got Chris Martinez, who's like – he's like 27 years old, I think, now from the Dominican Republic. He had a weird – so he was – oh, here's a little chopper. This is going to be trouble. Oh, Peasy. Did he get him? Oh, my God. That's one of the best plays all season. Wow.
Wow. High chopper.
So, yeah.
Ooh, back to Solpezio, bare hands and fires in one motion. It looks like
he had to go way to his right to get it, which is not easy. If you think about it, he's right-handed. So if anything, he's falling off toward the first base side. Had to run back over to the third base side, bare-handed. And then and the throw was high, but it was dead on. I mean, what a play by Solpezio. So that's, I mean, awesome. Is that two scoreless for him now in this game?
It is. Talk about a guy bouncing the back in a big way. I mean, he struggled early this season.
Yeah.
It did not look good for him. But the last, I think, three outings for Solpezio, he has looked like his old self. Because he has filthy stuff. He can locate. He's a great pitcher. Just sometimes you get the yips, I think. And
Well, he was – Remember first part of the year, Finley was telling us he was going to be his closer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he very quickly got to be – I remember one point a few weeks ago thinking, like, I don't know if Nick's ever going to throw another pitch for us. And, I mean, and again, Nick's an awesome kid. I love the guy. It's not like I'm sitting here, you know, oh, man, you know, it's like – it's just the reality of how things were going. And but that's – it's been great to see. And this game, he's throwing well. That's awesome, man. And that would be – it'd be huge. Some of these guys that are all of a sudden, you know – going back and playing like we kind of were hoping they were going to play all year, we're really rolling in a good spot right now.
And Solpezio, if he comes back in for the ninth, would be in line for, I believe, his first save of the year. So he would get a closer role in one of the last games of the season. But I think that's great. You get some of these arms, some confidence going into Coastal, then obviously the Sun Belt tournament, because you're going to need them. Those innings are endless in the Sun Belt tournament. And if you want to survive in advance, you've got to have guys you wouldn't expect or that maybe you've underperformed for part of the year, step up in a big way, give you a couple of good innings. We're seeing that right here this weekend, especially going 12 on Friday. We burn through. I mean, that's three more innings on your bullpen right there. If you end up throwing six innings in that game. They did pretty well. Dylan did pretty well yesterday. I think he made it to about the seventh when he came out.
He got through seven.
And he had six scoreless before that seventh inning. He had another great outing for Dylan Brown. But, you know, bullpen had scrambled a little bit. Some changes as the game got tighter later. So love seeing these bullpen guys step up. But I'd be much happier with about five more runs here.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, Luke can start it off here. Keep that excellent weekend going.
And he put two over the fence yesterday in almost the exact same spot. Like, just consistency in that swing.
Yeah, he's been killing that ball to the left side.
Yeah, that left center gap has been his friend. Not in this situation, but
little chopper there.
Yeah,
I don't know who we're seeing. We're seeing pictures of somebody with JMU football. I'm not sure. I'm not able to listen right now, so
I can't hear it. I'm trying to do some math on 1989.
I don't know.
Is no way that's Roger, right? It's got to be somebody else.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought he was like a linebacker.
If anybody watching the live stream has the audio up and knows who they were showing there, number 15 for JMU on the 89 team, shoot us a message here so we know. Oh, I got live feedback. That was Roger Waters in those pictures.
That was Roger. There we go.
In the living room just let me know.
I was going to say, there's the real star of the show.
Yes, absolutely. All right, I've got a funny situation because we dealt with a light problem Wednesday in Richmond at VCU. ODU won the game. It was pretty comfortable. But the light tower in right field, there's four light towers in the outfield. That one was out. They couldn't figure out how to get it back on. They even turned all the outfield lights off and back on. It still didn't come up. And you could just kind of see both teams in the midweek that not that important to them anymore. They called it game over. Old Dominion wins. Well, on Monday, out at Washington University, they were hosting an NIA Division II school, Warner Pacific. The game started during the day, seventh inning, and Warner Pacific is leading Washington 5-4. And Warner Pacific, so they're like 11-33 this year. They're not very good, even for a D2 NAIA. And all of a sudden, the lights wouldn't work at Husky Park. They couldn't get the lights on. They had to call it. And instead of it being a completed game or, you know, anything like that, no contest was the official ruling on the game. No contest. So no loss for Washington to a NAIA Division II. It reminded me of Major League III back to the minors. When the minor league team comes up to play, I think it's the Twins and Metrodome.
They turn the lights off.
The manager calls and gets the lights turned off so they don't take the loss. That it had those vibes to it. Oof. And that happened on Monday.
This will be the only Major League III reference you'll ever hear in your life.
It was Walton Goggins is in that, man.
Is Walton Goggins in that?
Yes, he's downtown. Dang.
Is he? He is. He's the kid. Oh, man. I've been watching Vice Principals, which I'd never really watched before. And he's something else, man.
Oh, he's awesome. I think I discovered him watching The Shield way back in the day. This is 04, 05 on FX.
I saw something the other day. It said that Jude Law has been trying to make the receding hairline, you know, attractive for 20 years. Walton Goggins comes in with his big teeth and just makes it happen.
I mean, he's got it figured out. He hosted Saturday Night Live last night. He's in Righteous Gemstones.
Righteous Gemstones. Uncle Baby Billy is one of the best characters you'll ever see in your life.
Yes, he is. He is one of the best. All right. Well, we're headed to the bottom of the ninth here. Still 4-2. That's a fairly quick inning.
All right.
So, I like it. In true Old Dominion baseball fashion, this is going to be a sweaty, tight game because why not? Like we can't just have those comfy. We had the comfy game, I guess, Wednesday in Richmond.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind us winning. I like winning these games where we're ahead and have to maintain a lead. You know, that's important because we weren't doing that the first part of the year. We'd get ahead and we weren't maintaining leads. So if we can get wins that way, it shows we've made some growth and made some, you know, realize like, okay, this is how you have to win a ball game.
Yeah. And I feel like it's just the more natural way that you utilize your bullpen in the right way to hold the lead. So you know what you've got to do and not just depending on the offense to bail you out each time.
Yeah. And come from behind and win or whatever. And it's much better to, like I said, it feels like a baseball win. Like, okay, we held the lead. We kept it. All right, Peasy, let's go, kid.
Pretty sure I see Craig Brown up there in the background of the broadcast right now.
Love that.
All right. We do have a finally from Atlanta. Marshall beat Georgia State 11-10. Marshall's kind of warmed up now. I think it's their 13th conference win.
All right. Well, as long as they don't get as many as we have, that's fine.
No, I think they're in. If we win today, I don't know if they can catch us, but we'll find out.
I mean, if they do, we got the tiebreaker. So
yes. That is one nice thing.
Yeah, you beat some of the teams you need to beat.
Especially with Georgia Southern doing us a favor, actually, by beating Texas State yesterday in the third game of their series. That was helpful. App State up 11-2 on South Alabama in the ninth. So it looks like App State's very, very long losing streak is finally going to come to an end. I cannot believe that going into today, they lost 11 straight games.
Crazy. It's a lot of games to lose in a row.
Yeah. And they had such a home field advantage through most of that early part of the season. Like that, they were just not losing games at home. They obviously took 2 out of 3 against us. there in Boone. Wild to see them.
I tell you, talking to other teams, man, Coastal's pretty darn good. I'm looking at some of their stats. I mean, and you saw, they played a complete game on Friday against ULM, then 1-7. I'm sorry, on Thursday, then 1-7 on Friday, then 1-5 yesterday. They only had to pitch what was that, 31 innings?
Maybe their arms will be
21 innings. Yeah,
over rested maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure they're over rested.
I think you can make the argument they might have the best weekend starting rotation in the country.
Their stats hitting and pitching are disgusting. It's pretty gross how good Coastal is. You know, they're definitely the kind of team that once you get past the tournament, you know, and it becomes like, hey, let's root for everyone. Like, we're going to all be big Coastal fans because they have a shot of doing big things nationally this year.
I mean, they're getting pretty high up there in the odds to win the College World Series.
I know. I saw a team. I saw some yesterday. I had to pick them to go to the Omaha.
Yeah, I mean, at this rate, unless we sweep them or something, I imagine that they're going to be a national seed.
I hope so. I'd love to mess up their whole year, make them feel bad. That'd be nice.
Ruin it.
Yeah.
All right. Jamie's got a runner on, no outs, and our good friend Jackson Tone at the plate.
Jake, good old Jake. Yeah. Jake's having a tough year. Jake's, Jake's a great hitter. He just never really happened here at ODU. And it unfortunately looks like it's not really happening at JMU either. He had like about a week where he's getting to play some games. And yeah, here's a ground out into a double play. Yeah. So that's he's a great kid, great family. He had a younger brother that was a senior last year, and he's got another younger brother who's a junior at Western Branch. So he's still the Tone family is still going at Western Branch, but it's just unfortunate. He's too good of a ball player, and the results just haven't been there.
You know, maybe I'm just way off base, but I've watched all three of JMU's games. I've watched a few of their games this season. I know that they have improved as the season has gone on. But just watching them, you know, even though we're one out away from a sweep here, I don't feel like they're this bottom feeder Sunbelt team. I feel like they should have more wins than they do.
That's every single Sunbelt series you play. It's just like, these guys aren't bad. Why are they losing? I'm sure that's how every team has felt when they play ODU and they're seeing us be at like 17-26 at one point. It's like, man, these guys aren't bad. What's happening? Conference play is just different, man. It doesn't matter what your record is. You show up and the teams look good and they play hard.
It's wild to think we are ahead of where we were this time last year after all we've been through this season.
Yeah, I mean, we're not used to seeing that record be upside down like that, the 20-26, but that 14-12 and one more out, 15-12 is pretty great.
Yeah, and you start thinking back, like, all right, well, with three against Auburn, we got one there, we got one at Southern Miss, and you think about the games we may have thrown away a little bit or had the chance to win.
There's might be 10 games you could find where it's like, man, if we just did a couple things right, we'd win this game and we all of a sudden, and then we'd have, you know, we'd probably be in the top 40 in RPI and be about getting here we go. Nice little ground out to third. And
get your brooms.
First sweep of the season for ODU baseball. Fantastic.
The series we need to sweep more than any other has happened.
And we got the stanky leg, who's the new celebration they're doing. I don't know what that, you know, they just do stuff. They're just weirdos that just decide to do stuff.
We need to get a stopwatch on Kane and George for how quickly he's got that shirt untucked. Because, I mean, he hasn't hit infield dirt before that thing is out every day.
That was the game last Sunday where they had the replay. They were having to tell him to tuck it back in, and he was so annoyed.
Yeah. How about Nick Sulpizio? Three scoreless innings to get the save and close out a 4-2 win for Old Dominion.
Yeah.
How about that?
For a guy who's struggled all year. Let's see. I'm pulling him up now just to look at his recent games because he also went a long time without pitching.
Yes.
That was another reason where it was like, is he ever going to pitch again? Because it's like he just hasn't gotten in a game. I mean, he was some of his biggest contributions were as the bat boy.
Yeah,
the ball boy. Let's see. So Marshall had two scoreless, had a scoreless inning at Virginia. Yeah, he pitched at Marshall. It was 5-2, so the 2nd of May. The last time he pitched before that was the 1st of April in Virginia. So he went a month without pitching.
Oof.
And now he's got actually three games in a row with six scoreless innings, but they were also one of those games was a month earlier. Before that, he had given up eight earned runs in one inning between two games. So it's been a tough year for him. But I mean, man, if he all of a sudden, you know, maybe he just needed to rest. You know, you never know. Maybe he was a little bit injured and he just needed to rest, and now it feels better and he's back on track. Maybe they went back and did some mechanical adjustments. You never know what's going on with these guys.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a little pain in the shoulder, a little sprain, a little tweak, something. Could have been a lot of stuff, but nothing seemed to be bothering him today, getting three innings on the back end to slam the door. We needed a sweep, and we got a sweep. We are going to, at worst, finish 500 in the Sun Belt, which should put us in the top six.
Yeah, which is exactly where you want to be. And a few weeks ago, it didn't seem possible. It seemed unlikely. There was a solid chance we wouldn't end up in the top 10. And here we are, like, no, pretty much going to be in the top six. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, we're going to have to get swept and have some very, very funky things to create a tie for us to not be in the top six. Now, if we go and get one game from Coastal, we are in the top six, period. Yeah. And I was actually having a conversation with Bo Cowan yesterday about the seeding and the playing times and all of that. And it's interesting, like, it, you know, being the sixth seed, I'm pretty sure you played 9 a.m. on Wednesday, and then you would always have more rest for your next game. So if we do end up getting bumped down to six, it's not the worst thing. Also, when you consider how hot it's going to be in Alabama in 2 weeks, playing, you know, before it hits 90 degrees is probably helpful for us. So
yeah, you say that, but these guys do not like playing at 9 a.m.
Wouldn't either.
Yeah, it sounds okay in theory until you're like telling them, yeah, you got to be there at 9 a.m. They're like, oh.
The only advantage we have is we play a Central Time team. We'll at least be 1 hour closer to being a human being. So, yes. So ODU gets the 4-2 win, completes the sweep. About a picture perfect weekend as you can get for ODU in terms of the baseball standings. I mean, we got help and we helped ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, and again, we, as we just were saying, it's not what we've been doing all year. We have not been helping ourselves. We've been shooting ourselves in the foot most of the season. And so to come out when you needed to have it happen and do the right stuff, it's huge. It really is.
Yeah, really important, and just playing at the right time in baseball in general. I think everyone knows that. You want to get hot later in the year. You don't want to, you know, be like App State, who they're world beaters earlier, now they're scratching and clawing to just get out of the losing streak, which is really, really tough.
Yeah, I was saying the other day, and Coastal was actually a team I mentioned. You know, if you remember when they won the College World Series, which was that was what, 15 or 16. You know, that was, it wasn't that they were the best team. They really weren't. They were not the most talented at all. I mean, you look back, most of those guys, I think one or two of them played pro ball and didn't get very far. What it was is they were hot. They were a good veteran team, and they got hot at the right time. And that's what it takes in the postseason. You know, not just the conference play, but then in the NCAA tournament, is just being hot at the right time.
All right, I'm pulling up some stats here because we do have an outside shot to get the four seed. It's not like the odds aren't great,
we do,
but the odds get a little bit better.
Yeah, we're 15 and 12. And what did Louisiana do today? Do we know?
They are down 9-6 right now in the top of the seventh.
Okay.
Southern Miss.
I mean,
going for their sweep of the Cajuns, which I'm sure they would love. There's been a lot of good back and forth on social media.
We would both be 15 and 12 then. You know, then you're talking about it, right?
Yeah. You've got a shot now. They are going to play Arkansas State in their final series,
which is. The opposite of what we're doing.
So I mean, we would probably need to start the conversation with winning the series against Coastal, which I mean, that's been tough for everybody this year.
But you know, if the only way, you know, that's one of those things where if you want to go into the tournament and do some stuff, you'd have to beat somebody like Coastal. So could you imagine the level of confidence you would have walking into that tournament coming off how many series in a row have we won now? Where's our schedule? Let me look here. That's at least three, right?
I believe so.
Three
in
a row.
So we had ULM, Marshall, and now JMU. So we've won three in a row. And the one being the sweep is really the key difference here.
Yeah. And we lost a series to the Cajuns. So that's, I'm trying to think how many series. We played 9 series. How many have we won? We won against Georgia. So we won 4 of the last 5.
Yep. We're 5 and 4 overall.
We're 5-4 in series. Okay, I mean, that's, you know, you win at least as many as you've had. Finney's been kind of saying it all year. If you end up 500, you'll be there. So, you know, a month ago, it was like, are these guys even going to get in the top 10 and have a chance to even play? So this is, you got to hand it to the guys. They have come up and they have played exactly how you needed them to play.
Everything they put forward is like, all right, if we want a chance, we got to do this. And then they go and do it. And it's like, all right, well, chance is a little bit better. And we've gone on from there. It looks like this loss for JMU is going to eliminate them from contention to make the Sun Belt tournament. So
yeah, I think they were saying they needed to win like the last 4 in a row.
Yeah. They threw everything they had at us. I mean, they went to their Sunday starter who still started today on Friday. I think he threw 139 pitches this weekend and was very effective for them. I mean, they emptied the tank. They did what they could. They've got one more series at Texas State, then their season will be over. And that was the last athletic event at JMU for the academic calendar. So thank goodness.
Weird that happens when you get down to that. You want to kind of go back through the week and talk about the games?
I definitely want to talk about going 4-0 against rivals this week. Starting
We did have a 4-0 rival week. Dang. Okay. When you put it that way. I mean, wow.
Gotta take the rivalry wins where we can get them. Dang. I guess. Diamond on Wednesday. Feels like it was like Wednesday. 2 weeks ago now.
It feels like 100 years ago. It does feel like a lot of life has happened between today and Wednesday.
And that game felt like an old school ODU game, like what you expect from ODU baseball, hitting home runs, pitching well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would talk about the bullpen doing well. They didn't give up a run after the first inning, right?
Yeah. Connor Schumann, I still thought he pitched well. I forgot he gave up the runs in the first inning, but I still thought he pitched well. He got 1 2/3. And then after that, Frankie Wright inning in a third, Bailey came in, Alex Hunt came in, Tostrup, who's another guy that's on a nice little stretch, and Marco didn't get a chance to do anything. He walked the guy. He actually was not looking great, but then the lights went out on him. So, we ended up being, I guess, technically 6 innings of pitching.
And the only 2 runs that Schumann gave up, he threw a pitch in on the hands. It hit right above the batter's hands on the handle and just dribbled up through the middle, allowing runners from second and third to score with 2 outs. So it wasn't like he gave up a big gap shot or anything like that. Just kind of got one through. But we just played a complete game. I mean, the light going out was a funky thing. As I found out from Eric Bohannon, everything up to the point of where the game was suspended counts in the stat book. It would have only changed. It would only reverted if we had taken the lead in the top half, which we didn't. Already comfortably had the lead. But that was, I think, the first time that I have seen a game at the college level, especially Division I, called for the lights being out.
I saw, if you remember, Jared Hancock that played for us for 3-4 years. I saw a high school game he played where they didn't have lights. And the game went to like the 13th inning and they just had to stop playing and then pick it up the next day. And then the next day, apparently they played like 5 more innings. But so that's about the only one I can think of. But yeah, I've not seen a college game that had to stop. And I think we pointed out if it was a conference game and on the weekend, they might've kept playing or they might've figured it out. But because it was a midweek and it was like, all right, we're already losing, whatever, just call it.
At this point in the year, everyone is looking to cancel their midweeks. If somebody overwaters their lawn next door to the stadium, they are going to call that game and save their arms for the weekend or the tournament, or whatever it may be.
Yeah, they got rain scheduled on Tuesday in Richmond, so I wouldn't be surprised if we're in Richmond. You know, they're trying to win their conference too. They're pretty good this year, so my guess is neither one of the teams are going to be too upset about that one not happening. Grant Gardner, he's a Green Lantern. Isn't that one of the Green Lanterns is Grant Gardner? That's pretty cool.
That I don't know. I think Grant and I have been following each other on social media since I'm pretty sure we were both in school, which I don't want to admit now how long ago that was. But appreciate you tuning in, Grant.
Sky Gardner, I'm sorry. My bad. I'm sorry, Grant.
I just can't believe, you remembered the name of the Green Lantern person. But
You know me. You know better than that. Stop.
I mean,
you throw the breaker.
Well, we were winning, so I didn't need a reason to go try and tank that thing. It is interesting and kind of ominous with the new baseball stadium going in right next door. You see it as you walk through the parking lot on that third base side. You've got that going on. You've got lights that aren't working. And I don't know. I heard a pop before the light went out, so I'm guessing the breaker tripped. But I also didn't know if it was one of our guys getting a little too loose in the bullpen down there and they hit the pad. So I didn't really want to broadcast that and get dunked on for a wild pitch. It's the new stadium there is going to be nice. I don't know what VCU's whole arrangement and setup and contract is going to be. I would assume that at some point they're going to play in the new stadium, but I also know that the diamond itself will still be up there this time next year. Mm. But they've already got enough effort to just try to get that thing rolling with the field conditions. I mean, that's playing service is rough.
Yeah, it was neat going up there because, you know, I've been to the diamond a ton of times. I used to go all the time when they were the Richmond Braves, and so it's always a lot of fun. So yeah, what's faster is it's Kanan's shirt untucked because my curtain sometimes will wait halfway through the thing. You notice today I'm in the living room. I've got she's over here sleeping, but I got a brand new kitten yesterday, so I'm kind of in the room. I don't want her in the other room where all the my good stuff is, but she's on the couch here, so you notice I'm in a different room.
Well, see, adding a cat is going to change the betting odds here a little bit on your curtain falling because you've introduced something that can also tear down a curtain. So we
she
might
is
get
not
the
allowed,
full pull.
She is not allowed in that room. You may actually see me out here in general because she, I mean, maybe it'll change, but she meows like crazy if she can't see me. So I don't think we get through a podcast with the door closed and her meow, 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 meow from the other side of the door.
I'm going to see it on the transcript, cat noises in background. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So the diamond. So, but as you pointed out, it was a great. Kanan hit a homer, and then Maverick caught right back up with him with another big. I mean, just a big bomb. Or it was the opposite way around. I think maybe Maverick hit his first, but they were both just absolute bullets out of there. And Teron Hammond got back in the lineup. He had a couple of hits. Kyle had a couple of hits. I mean, it was Tanner Shadell had another nice hit. You know, his numbers are probably never going to look good no matter what he does the rest of the year, but what I think is a good year for a freshman. It hasn't been like, it's not like a Alex Boucher freshman season where it's like, oh man, this guy's a stud, but it's what a typical freshman season is. You know, there's a lot of struggles followed by some success.
Yeah. And we're seeing a lot of those guys that are new to the team that are maybe true freshmen, not playing like true freshmen anymore. They're stepping up in a big way. They've got almost a full season under their belt. And especially with as much as we've been on the road, I think that kind of sharpens you up and matures you a little bit faster because you don't have nearly as much on-campus shenanigans as you would when you're playing at home all the time.
Yeah.
And then Friday, that's probably the most intense ODU game in a little while, and we've had some intense ones, but we go 4-4, we're going to extra innings, and like we can't get anything going. We're not getting guys on base. JMU is putting ducks on the pond every inning, but our bullpen shuts them down. We finally get two guys on. Luke rips one really off the base of the wall in left center, scores two runs. We win that, and I think that may have taken some of the air out of the sails for JMU because they shot their best bullets on their pitching staff that night, and we were able to get the win.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of good bullets, and they used them. Yeah, when you got Max Cool, as we know, Aiden's brother, Aiden pitched for us last year. He's one of their best pitchers, and he only got 5 innings. Todd Mazzocchi's been a great reliever for him the last few years, and then they said bringing out that Jackson Logar, who his stats were weird as they were saying. He doesn't give up a lot of hits, but he hits a lot of guys, and he did that today. Hit a few guys. Very odd. We give up almost no hits, but then you're still hitting a lot of guys. They threw the kitchen sink at us and we threw the kitchen sink right back at them. And ours was a little bit bigger or more better marble in the sink. I don't know how this analogy keeps going.
Better water flow, better disposal. Yeah, either way, our guys locked it down. I mean, 6 scoreless from your bullpen on a Friday night game is key. It almost gets that point too. If you do go and lose that game, if you're ODU, the momentum swing and what's available to you for Saturday is really difficult beyond Dylan, who on Saturday I thought pitched exceptionally well, just gave up some hits, but got out of jams real fast.
Yeah. And his line ends up not looking that great, right? It's 7 innings, 3 runs. But that home run he gave up, it's like, at that point it was whatever. I mean, we were up. So 7-0. It ended up being, Yeah, it ended up being closer than I mean, being a 9-6 game. But, you know, Dylan certainly had the best outing of the week. I mean, and to go back to Friday, Ben Moore actually ended up with a great outing. He had 6 innings, which is only the second time he'd gone 6 all year. 4 runs, but only 2 earned. And he only had 2 walks for a guy who's been, you know, throwing way too many pitches all year. And he had 82 pitches through 6. So he really probably could have gone more. But again, sometimes I'm sure you look at it and you say, hey, you know what? He's had the success. Let's just kind of get him out of there. We don't want to, you know, stress it out and go longer and have something happen that we don't need to have happen. So good pitch. And Blake pitched well today. I mean, what did he have? 5 2/3 and 2 runs. What did he have?
Yeah, that second run. Was
yeah, 2 runs. The second run, Kellen gave it up, but it was still his run. But yes, I mean, again, the strength of this team is probably the rotation, and the rotation showed up this weekend.
Yeah, and it's nice to be able to rely on that because it's been battle tested all year. I mean, we've essentially used the same 3 starters for Friday, Saturday, Sunday all year long. Bullpen starting to come around, like Sulpizio, Alex Hunt. I didn't see a radar gun at VCU. We also didn't have a pitch clock because it only would reset to 2 minutes instead of 20 seconds.
We didn't have a lot of stuff at VCU.
Yeah, they did have enough beer for us, which was a pleasant surprise if you've been up there the last few seasons. But I have to imagine, based on sight and sound, that Alex Hunt was throwing 95 plus relief inning. I mean, that thing was popping in there. Batters were well off their timing. So even a guy like that who's proven to be a good bridge guy for us to come in and with people on base and get outs, that's huge because he may end up with pitching 3-4 days in a row like he did a couple weekends ago.
Well, he pitched 3 games this week. He pitched on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah.
Didn't get any outs in the Saturday game. I think he faced one guy and walked him. But that, I mean, right there, just that he's, you know, and they decided, okay, at that point, it clearly, you know, when you bring a guy in for the 3rd game of the week, you know the stuff's not going to be there. And I think they were smart to look at it and say, okay, the stuff's not here. Let's get Frankie in. Frankie got the job done.
Yeah, we don't have the rules in college where you have the 3 batter minimum or anything. So you can plug guys in for 1 batter. I think JMU did that with one of their lefties. Didn't pay off for them. They brought in the lefty to face Zach Layton. Zach rips one down the line on Saturday, which kind of helped blow the thing open a little bit. But no, I love Dylan going back out there for the 7th on Saturday. You're up 7-0. You just played a 12 inning game. He's been pitching really well. You know, got a couple bad sequence of pitches there, ends up giving up a 3-run home run, but that was it. It limited the damage, finished the inning, and we were all good. It's kind of exciting to see these guys turn it on at the right time.
It's, you know, I said yesterday, it's when I tell people all year, it's like, hey, if they play how they can play, that'll be really great. And that's what I feel like the last couple of weeks is what we're seeing is like it's the team in my head that I'm telling people about all year. It's like, you know, this is when they play and up to their ability, they're really, really good. And now you're seeing it. So it's nice for them to finally make me look like I'm not a crazy person just saying like, no, they're really good. They're like 12-38. Yeah. Trust me. They're really good.
And they've taken the pressure off themselves, too, because they go into the series with Coastal where they can still be very well positioned even if they lose the series. Even, honestly, if they get swept, they're still in a pretty decent spot, although we really need to take one game. Whereas if we were in a different situation, maybe lost one to JMU, now you're talking about having to take 2 out of 3 from one of the best teams in the country against arguably the best pitching staff in the country. You lose Friday, and that balloon just deflates real fast. But in this situation, we get to be kind of the scrappy ones with nothing to lose because we just need to steal a game from these guys. And we're locked in for 5 or 6.
So this isn't a team that hasn't played top 25 teams. We played top 25 teams. Yeah, we took a win in Auburn. We've taken wins at big places. We played close games. Another way, we really haven't gotten blown out by those tough teams. And so it's not something they're unable to do. You know, they know it's not going to be like, oh man, we've never beaten a team this good. Like, no, we absolutely have. And it's not a, you know, okay, cool, yeah, Coastal, whatever. Like, it's not going to be like this, you know, big amazing hard thing.
If we can take one from Southern Miss on the road with that kind of crowd environment,
yeah,
I think
Auburn,
Yeah, well, Auburn. I mean, good God, Mississippi State.
On a Saturday night at Auburn, after they've just had the number one and number two team in the country playing and with their biggest rival in basketball that afternoon, I mean, the whole campus is buzzing, and we go out and just say, hey, yeah, we know you lost the basketball game. Here's a little more sadness for you. these guys can do it, man. When Troy came in, they were top 25. We took one from them. Didn't win the series, but they definitely can. They're not going to be – if they lose, it's not because they're intimidated, that's for sure. No. They lose just because, let's be real, Coastal looks like they're a really darn good baseball team.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe Coastal decides to just ease on back this weekend, start sequencing their pitching, because they've got a two-game lead on Southern Miss, even if Southern Miss wins today. So a little different end of the spectrum there, but just go get one next weekend. We're in great shape. Yeah. We have a message out to Coach Fenwood. We know a lot of you all tune in pretty much exclusively to listen to Coach Fenwood. We're the ones that called this audible, so it's definitely not on him for not being here. As you saw, he was coaching when we started this. We'll see if we can get him to pop on here for a few minutes from the bus if they have signal going through the mountains.
No idea. They got to get their stuff together after who knows? And if we can't, it's also my fault for not telling him ahead of time either. I forgot to – that I was getting a kitten. I'm sorry. I had life things. I'm sorry. That's
just
how it goes.
Yeah. I did not send that message either. So definitely not just on you there.
Wait, let me, because she's over here sleeping. Let's see. Can we see there she is. She's adorable and tiny and sleeping. There we go.
Oh, made herself comfortable already. I see.
There we go. She loves, that's her little hole right there. She loves that, that side of the couch already. That's her spot.
She starts climbing on you here in about 5 minutes.
Oh, I got little hacks all over my hand already.
Oh, but one thing I did learn from the broadcast, because again, the ESPN broadcast, ESPN Plus broadcast was really good, really knowledgeable.
Yeah, they were good. They were great.
Coastal Carolina is either first or second in the country in being hit by a pitch.
Yeah.
And I watched some of their games now, went back and watched a couple on ESPN Plus. They're basically standing on that front line of the batter's box. So anything that's breaking late, I mean, they're going to get on base. They're going to get some free passes and wear them.
136 before today. I mean, that's a crazy amount of hit by pitches. 136 hit by pitches in 52 games.
Something's a little funky there, right?
I mean, they got Walker Mitchell's got 24 hit by pitches. They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys with double digit hit by pitches.
Well, give me those seven and Stephen Meyer, and we'll never get out of the plate.
Jeez. That is crazy.
Yeah.
They got like their top home run hitters are like they're having good, 285, 275, but there's five guys ahead of them hitting higher average. I mean, they're batting them. They're hitting 285 as a team, which is hard to do, but then they're pitching. They've got a 3.38 ERA as a team, which is insane in college. That's, I don't care what level you're at. That's ridiculous. It's about 14 or 15 guys before they have anybody with a 4 ERA.
You said their team ERA is in the threes.
3.38.
Yeah, I think our team ERA just this weekend in this series against one of the worst hitting teams in the conference is around 3.38.
Yeah.
And they're doing that against everyone in the Sun Belt, which pretty unbelievable. But, hey, wouldn't be a bad time for them to cool off because they're on quite a little winning streak themselves.
Yeah. For a comparison, our ERA for the season is 6.17.
Yeah. A little different.
And our batting is, before today's day, is 260, which is actually way above where it was.
Well, anything can happen in the tournament. And, you never know. Just get in that tournament, get away from the playing game, and I'll put us up against anybody in the one game scenario. And also, I think there's some thought. You think you see it a little bit in the SEC tournament, sometimes the ACC tournament. The teams that know they're getting in, they're not going to go overtax their pitching staff to try to secure a conference tournament win. They're more likely just going to go save their arms, rehab them up, and get them ready for the regional. And Coastal would very, very much be in that bucket because they're getting in. They're hosting. I would imagine the only argument is, are they a top 8 or a top 16 seed?
Yeah.
Southern Miss is getting in. I would find it hard to believe that Troy doesn't get in as an at-large. And then, you know, there's still Louisiana and ODU that could potentially go win the conference tournament in addition to that.
Yeah, I think you're right when you say those top three should be going to the tournament. And then anybody else has got to be, well, you better win the conference.
Yeah, and we're definitely in the we got to win the conference boat. I think Louisiana is too, just because of the slow start they've had.
Yeah,
they've definitely turned a corner. Similar, almost similar trajectory as us. I think they hit theirs maybe a week before we did. Mm-hmm. So, and that was, of course, the week we played them. But if you think, remember that series, we had the lead going into the ninth inning against them, and we lost the lead, then we lost in the 10th inning. So it's not like we were, you know, head and shoulders worse than Louisiana. No. They run rolled us on Sunday, but, you know, we could have been a spot where we had already taken two games at that point.
Yeah, that was one of the last really bad games. I mean, that's one that, curious to go back now that we're kind of talking about it, was that a turning point for us, that getting run ruled, or was like, all right, let's see what we've done since then. Where are we at here?
Well, that was,
so we get run ruled on the Saturday. Yep. And then we go and we win. Then we actually lose to ULM. Then we win the next two. Then we lose within two or three. So that's, what is that? I can't do math. That's four out of five, the next four out of five. And then we win four this weekend. So we won eight of the last nine games.
Yeah.
If you start a game after that. I mean, really, so even say eight, we went 8 out of 10 since we got that run rule game.
The other difference there is, one, that was Easter weekend, I believe. So they didn't play on Sunday. So they got the extra day of rest, and their travel drastically reduced for the rest of the season, pretty much after ULM. So they've been having much shorter trips. We had 2 weeks there. We didn't have midweeks, which I think did wonders for our pitching staff to get them a little bit of a breather. And when we went back to kind of a more normalized baseball schedule, we start playing the way we expected the team to play. I don't think that's a coincidence.
And now there's no school, which is huge. Now all of a sudden everybody just relaxes. Yeah. Now all the, you know, I mean, you think about this life of a student athlete, it's just a time. It's all the amount you have to do. I remember talking to Jack Spites last year, one of our guys, and he was like, I don't do anything. He's like, I see some of these guys go and hang out and get play. He's like, I work out and I go to school. That's it. He's like, that's all I do. Now he says that. He has a girlfriend that hangs with us. I don't know what he's lying to me.
I don't think anyone's happier here that school is done than Kyle Edwards, as we found out from interviewing him earlier this season. Definitely check that out if you go back on YouTube and find it. Kyle was very hilarious about his future academic endeavors.
Yep. Did you get that text I sent you with the players of the week?
I sure did. Give me about 10 seconds here.
That's fine. Sure. I did that kind of as the guy was like, well, nothing much is really going to change in this game to make this Gary and I usually have a conversation, but some weeks it's just like, nah, this is what it is. These are the answers. It's not much you can really argue with.
No, pretty clear. We'll throw him up here now.
There we go.
Shocker, right. Luke Waters.
Yeah, Luke Waters. Because he did pretty solid on the Wednesday game. So for the week after today's game, Luke ended up 9 for 17. Had a double, two home runs, which obviously both came in yesterday's game, had four RBIs and three walks. So he, let me see if I can see this real quick. So he is now hitting, and I don't know where I can, right, thing, make it bigger, hitting .277. When I actually took a screenshot yesterday of his like stats from like last year compared to this year. And yeah, so before this weekend, he was hitting .240. So he gained 30 points on his batting average. And I don't even know what he gained in his OPS. It's through the roof. He's over 700 something. And so he probably gained another 100 points on his OPS. So he went from having he was hitting .247 with a .672 OPS before this week. Like, he was not doing well. Because I was like, well, he's got a little bit of a season left to you know, make it respectable. And you know what? He's doing that. So awesome. So way to go, Luke. Kyle Edwards had another great week. He was 7 for 16, had a triple, an RBI, three walks, two steals. Teron Hammond had a solid week. He was 6 for 13, with three RBIs, three walks, a couple of hit by pitches, and made some really nice plays on the field. And Cannon George had a solid week. It wasn't the best Average would be 5 out of 19, had a double, had 2 homers, 3 RBIs, 4 walks and a steal. So another nice week for him. And then pitching wise, you know, again, I think you could have given it to multiple guys, but I think Dylan with pitching 7 innings, yeah, he gave up the 3 earned runs with the home run there, but that was kind of whatever. 8 hits, no walks, and 5 strikeouts. So he's up to 87 for the season, which is a really high amount. That's actually the second most of an ODU pitcher since Finwood's been the coach, because Hunter Gregory had 88 in 2021.
So he needs 2 more to break that. So 2 strikeouts against Coastal, and he's going to clear Hunter Gregory.
Yeah, he. And I know I looked back a little while. The last highest total anybody had was Kyle Hall. That had 108 in 2011, which is actually ties for 5th all time in a season with Jeff Ware from 92. So, you know, Dylan's got an outside shot if he has a couple more of those big strikeout games. Like he's kind of, his strikeout numbers have kind of gone down a little bit, which is, you know, he's getting tired, but he's still pitching effectively. So, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah. There's a concerted effort there, too, I think, for him to be a little bit more efficient. Yeah. So he is letting guys put ball in play, which you saw he gave up, I think, 7 hits on Saturday, but they were all just ground balls, little loopers. He was not letting guys barrel things up.
He also, I mean, he's got those strikeouts in like way fewer innings than those other guys had him in.
Yes.
That's an interesting factor. And then, you know, Ben Moore did have a great, I think we said 6 innings, 4 runs, only 2 earned, 8 hits, only 2 walks, which has been great for him. He's walked way too many guys this year, and 2 strikeouts. And also Frankie Wright, we mentioned him. He picked up a save, had 2 games, 2 total innings, no runs, 3 hits, no walks, 2 strikeouts. So some guys had some really, and some of the guys, you know, had solid hitting and pitching performance. Those are kind of the best standouts of the week. It was a little harder to do the math on all of them as we're sitting here watching the end of the game. So I only picked a few.
Well, we could have done the cheat version and just gone like the entire bullpen. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you know, I mean,
the whole offensive line.
No, it would be fair. You would not be wrong, I think. You know, that we for the whole week, especially when you consider the whole bullpen pitched on Friday, on Wednesday's game, that was all the bullpen guys, and they all pitched really well. Yeah, it was, and that's been it, because how many times here we said, man, the bullpen killed us. Like how many times we said all year, if we win these games, if the bullpen wasn't giving games away, and I mentioned it, you know, what, half an hour ago, I said it's nice to see these games where we're getting ahead and keeping the lead. And grinding it down, yeah, you may give up a run here or there, but at the end of the day, you don't give up enough runs to tie the game, and you hold on to the victory. And that's the thing the bullpen had not done for most of the year, and all of a sudden they're doing it. And, yeah, you're seeing in every kind of aspect of the game, it's all the things that needed to happen that weren't happening now are. And that's where, like I said, we won 8 of the last 9 games.
And I know Paul Ambrose was asking about lineup consistency. We've been very consistent with our lineup with Teron at second. Now Maverick going to third. That's really been the kind of the only change there. But, I mean, other than some left-right matchups, we've seen some consistency at the positioning, where guys are hitting in the order, and that's just kind of starting to gel really, really nicely now. And I love Kanan in that leadoff spot because having someone that can hit home runs but also hit for average and get on base – at the top of
and
the
order. Steals. He's second on the team in steals. I mean, that was a move where it's like I wasn't thinking about it, but then as soon as Finney did it, it's like, well, yeah, that's why he's been coaching a million years, because he knows kind of when to pull the trigger on those moves. Yeah, because it was immediately I saw the lineup. I was like, I love that. Like, I didn't even question it. It was like, yeah, why wouldn't he be there? You know, very few teams have those old style, you know, little fast guys that don't hit for power. That, you know, I mean, it really is the modern days of having a big, strong guy who can hit the ball out, but as long as they get on base. That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely. You were talking about stealing. I don't know if the numbers are updated, but I know going into the game today, Kyle Edwards was 24 for 25 at stolen bases.
Yeah.
And was leading
and he got one today.
Yeah, he got one today. And that is a sneaky guy to have hitting like 6th or 7th down in your lineup where they can get on. He's got a good average. He can hit for a little bit of power. But then if he gets on base – you can put pressure on the pitcher against like 7, 8, 9 guys in the lineup where typically they can relax more, throw more fastballs, throw more of the middle of the plate, but not with Kyle over there stealing second and immediately getting scoring position.
It's nice. You know, Kyle has moved kind of all over the order, and I've always liked him hitting kind of lower down because I think he's the way his abilities are more in tune to like a 1-2 hitter, but his mentality is more attuned to a lower of the order hitter. And so when he has him, he's been hitting seventh recently, and that's a great spot. Like you said, he gets on, he can steal, and then, you know, if you got Hammond and Holman or Hammond and Slater hitting after him, well, then, you know, one of them can bunt, and then they're pretty good hitters, and then you're coming back around to George, who is more like a 3-4 hitter, even though he's hitting leadoff. So you've got it is kind of like having a second leadoff hitter in the middle of the lineup, which is kind of what you want.
And it's helpful when your best defensive player can also hit, get on base, and steal, because he made some great plays at shortstop. I think he loved playing on that turf at JMU because the bounces were more predictable. He was eaten over there at short. I didn't check the box score, but I know we had no errors yesterday.
Let's see. I have it right here. We had no errors today. No errors for either team 2 days in a row, which is pretty great. Yeah, no, I think I've said this before, but the first time I ever saw Kyle playing, he was like 14. And I remember thinking at the time, I was like, this guy can play defense in college right now. And he's never proven me wrong. He can play defense again. And he also showed he can play defense in the outfield in college at a high level. He's just that good. And he's, as Kyle said before, he's a utility guy. He's not a shortstop, he's a utility guy. He had a phenomenal weekend. He's been making some great plays. He's just so athletically gifted. And, you know, it's one of those, as someone who has never been athletically gifted in any way, it's like, you look at it, like, how does your body and brain just all do that at once? Like, Scotty made a play in the outfield yesterday where he, we tend to call him, my dad says he's like a baby giraffe sometimes out there, because he's so long and lanky. And he runs a little. He does. Sometimes he makes some bad reads on balls. He's a little goofy sometimes. But he made that nice kind of leaping catch. And I said, oh, the baby giraffe got the top branch. But then he immediately, as he's running back in, his hat's falling off just for no reason whatsoever. And I was like, there it is. That's, you know, the guy makes an amazing play. And he's still a little bit goofy. And I was like, I can relate to that. I can relate to being like maybe accidentally doing something and then being a little goofy afterwards. But like, someone like Kyle, where it's just like, no, you're just like, you're on a physical level I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, that play that you're talking about with Scotty out there and left saved us two runs as well. That would have been a big swing. So maybe a slight misread to begin with it, but he used the size to make the catch and save the game. I got to say, I want to know Scotty's bat dimensions, because I'm used to watching like a Jose Altuve swings like a 37 or 38 inch bat, and it looks hilarious because he's 5'6" and swings that. And I'm sure that he's swinging a perfectly normal sized bat, but because Scotty's 6'6", it looks like he's swinging with a toothpick.
Yeah.
I feel like he should, needs to upgrade there, but I don't know. We'll ask him about that if we have him back on again. He was another very funny guest of the podcast.
Yes he was.
Well, any word back from Coach Finwood yet? Are they?
No, again, you know, probably just between getting going on the road. I'm sure he just, you know, and he's not like us, you know, the youth and all. We're on our phones constantly. He's doing whatever he's doing and taking care of business. Then he might relax and look at the phone.
He probably has like 900 messages in his inbox too.
Yeah, I'm sure too. So I would not bet on Finney being able to join us today, which is, you know, again, that's, I'm sure he's as sad about it as anybody, because he really does enjoy coming on here, getting to talk to everybody.
Yeah, I think he likes having the direct connection to the fans for sure. Well, I see there's still a couple hundred people still tuning in across the different social platforms. So I haven't gotten a comment in a while. So if you're listening, shoot us a message, question, anything, we'd love to.
Yeah, we would definitely love to. You know, I know you hear us babble on enough. And as I said, my mom says we talk too much. So, but if there's some things you'd like to bring up or like to talk to us about, we would love it. Yeah, it's nice to see. I got to go out and see one of our commits of the day, Cam Tellefson's a big first baseman here at Lansdowne High. So he looked good. And his team didn't win that game. That was a tough game, but he's been coming out. Him and his dad been coming out to, and his granddad, I think, have been coming out to some games here and there. And so he's the other day we were getting beat pretty bad in that one game against, I think it was Marshall the Friday. Yeah, and I walked by. We weren't scoring any runs. I walked by. I told him, "Hey, this is why we need you next year."
I mean, he's a big boy, and I know you've seen him play. But I mean, he's what, 6'4", 6'5", still growing. Big first base commit for us. So we're pumped. And I think,
We had a few, and then Jackson Okonkwo is there, Greenbrier Christian. They're going to the this week is going to be their state tournament. They won the championship again, of course, because they're Greenbrier Christian. That's what they do. They won the regional, and so then they're going to states. I saw Nick Felton's outfielder is coming to us. His team is like 26-1. And I think the one loss they had all year was to the IMG national team, which, you know, we all know how good they are. So he's on a really good, he didn't get a chance because they got rained out the day I was going to go see him. So I didn't get a chance to get to see him this year. So we, yeah, some talent. I saw Will Johnson's a JUCO outfitter. He had a 6 home run the other day. So we got some of our guys coming to us are doing pretty well as they're getting toward, you know, the end of their seasons also.
Good to see the new crop coming in because who knows what things look like next year with changes to roster limits and general transfer portal and new stadium and all of that.
Yeah.
But while we're waiting for
We had, what, 18 returners and 22 new guys this past year, and my guess is just based on the reality of the way things go, I wouldn't be surprised if it's pretty much similar numbers to that kind of every year. That's just how it is.
Yeah, that's going to be baseball moving forward. I feel like baseball kind of ducked some of it for a couple of years. They made it longer than football and basketball, but it's coming for all the sports now that it's there.
I still think for us, the NIL isn't as huge of a deal. I think, you know, if you do have some guy who's like a All-American standout as like a freshman or a sophomore, yeah, there's a good shot of a team coming and getting him. But I think in general, especially with basketball, what I'm noticing is you see a lot of players moving from one team to the other in the same conference. And again, that's just because of the money. I don't think that's going to happen in baseball because how many teams in the Sun Belt in baseball actually have an NIL? What, like Southern Miss has one, maybe probably Coastal probably has one, but they're not in the millions we're talking about. I think I heard Southern Miss is like 250,000. So it's like, you know, maybe you can offer the guy, you know, $20,000. Like, is that life-changing enough to go and probably not. I mean, most of the guy, they're probably not going to be, they're trying to get other guys or pay their own guys. So I think
I would also assume that some of the 20K may be in lieu of scholarship, which the roster limits and scholarship limits thing is going to limit that. But I guarantee, especially in baseball with 11.7 scholarships, you're probably, if you can fundraise 250,000, that's what, like another 3-4 full rides.
Yeah. So I think in general right now, the NIL is not really a failure. Yeah. Again, if you have somebody who's like an all world, like just for an example, like Carter Trice after his freshman year, he was an All American. He's playing Team USA. That, and he did eventually end up leaving us, you know, really ended up being kind of a mutual decision at that time. But probably if a player like that happened again, yeah, you might see an SEC, ACC team try to steal him away. But, you know, good problems to have, I guess. You got a good year of a guy. But the reality is I think when you see our guys moving, there's going to be guys who leave us because they really didn't get a chance to play here or didn't play that well. And we both kind of – the team and the player decided it's time for them to move on. Or we got guys who just didn't play and they want to trade. You know, we're probably not losing guys who we really, really, really don't want to lose.
Yeah, that's very true. And hopefully that continues to be the case. And I think we need to go probably attract some arms in the transfer portal because we're going to lose our 3 weekend starters. But really inspired by Hubble's performance on Friday.
Yeah.
Moment doesn't get much bigger than what he had to go up against. He comes and gives us 3 scoreless and wins the game. You could tell it meant a lot to him. He was pumped. If you weren't on the stream earlier, you need to go back and watch that. ODU Baseball social media accounts have it out too. But getting that last out, he's celebrating. You're seeing Kyle and Teron come together celebrate.
Yeah.
Kanan and Scotty and I don't know, some other people were doing I don't know what, but it was just a great shot. Just big moment for Hubble, but he's going to have to be someone that probably steps up and starts for us on Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, and he was a guy when they brought him in this year, that was a possibility. You know, he was kind of making like starter type appearances all throughout the fall and the early spring and just decided, okay, he's probably better. And compared to the guys we have, he's be better out of the bullpen. But he's, it's now you're looking at, you're like, okay, this is a guy who we probably can build with and have him become a starter next year, which is nice because, you know, again, about a month ago, it was like, man, who is going to start for this team next year? you know, which again, I don't have to figure it out. That's on them. You know, Marin and Finwood, the guys are going to figure it out. I believe in them. They have yet to come into a season where I was like, it was all these guys are terrible. No one's going to be able to pitch. You know, that doesn't mean that some of the guys don't perform as well as you hope, but that, again, I don't think they haven't started one yet where I've been like, these guys are terrible. I'm going out the fall. This guy, they can't throw. No, I don't. I usually go like, hey, if they pitch up to their ability, we're going to be fine. And sometimes that doesn't happen. But so, however it happens, if it's guys like Hubble stepping up, you know, if a guy like Nick Sulpizio has a great strong end of the year here and then comes back out all of a sudden next year and it's like pitches how you've been thinking he's going to pitch, you know, who knows? But you're going to see some arms, I'm sure, coming in either through the portal or through some more JUCO guys. And they might even have guys who are committed that I'm not aware of. Sometimes they're just, sometimes between Twitter and Instagram and all the places, you just don't see some guys say I was committed. It's not as hard as I search through to find it. Sometimes it's like, well, I didn't see that one. I had no idea. There's always somebody in the fall that I walk up. I'm like, never heard of this guy.
Yeah. And we also have a couple of guys that we really haven't seen this year because of injury. So there's definitely that element of it as well. Yeah. But I don't know how this is coming in.
Hey, dudes. Thanks for keeping me company while you prep for Mother's Day dinner. There we go. All right.
Yes.
That's good. Happy Mother's Day to your mom and to my mom. And my mom's awesome. She makes everyone cookies and they love them. And they all act like she gets them from Walmart. She's always baffled by why people love them so much. She doesn't understand it, but she'll keep making them because she loves everybody.
Yes. And yeah, of course, there's Harry McBrien, one of the fellow monarchists with us. And he has an important job on Thursday, potentially the most important job that will exist on Thursday in the 757. He's driving the team over to War Memorial for game one of the series with Coastal. Yeah. So if you see the ODU bus, stay out of the way because Harry will run your ass off the road and do it with a smile on his face.
No, I remember I was there at the War Memorial, and I think, and Paul Panic was like, yeah, one of the Marcus guys was driving us today. I was like, all right. it was Harry. Yeah.
We've reached a new element of trust, apparently.
There you go. It's one thing to talk to us on the podcast, nothing less to actually drive you all in a bus across the worst place on the planet, that tunnel from Hampton. That is the worst spot in the world, I think.
Yes. Harry McBrien, too, during basketball season, actually got a group of kids in the community in Virginia Beach, got them away from their parents for a little bit, took them over to the ODU football facility. He got the coach Ronnie was there. The rest of the coaching staff spoke with him. Fed him lunch, took him to a women's basketball game, and dropped him off. So it's pretty cool, but that's part of the reason why Harry has that bus license and the ability to drive it is community-minded things like that, which obviously our group is a big part of still. We'll have, Dollars for Dingers is a big thing for ODU, but Toys for Tots for us in the fall is like our biggest kind of nonprofit event that we have. We bring in all kinds of armaments and fighter jets and all that stuff to help push that, so be on the lookout for that. I have one baseball related story that I want to tell because I just can't believe it. And also it kind of, as an Astros fan, it's kind of funny. So Ryan Pressly, talking about relievers and everything, had potentially one of the biggest meltdowns as a pitcher in pro baseball history. And it was earlier this week. They're in extra innings and Ryan Pressly, final stat line, no outs recorded, 5 hits, 9 runs, 8 of them are earned, 1 walk. In technically 0 innings of work. He went into the game with an ERA of 2.08 and he walked out with 7.62.
And he could be amazing the rest of the year and it'll still end up being like 4.5 or something. Yeah, it's tough as a reliever to get that. And Ryan Pressly's been a really good reliever for years.
I think he had only given up 1 run since the beginning of the season, or 1 or 2 runs since the beginning of the season. He's been good, obviously great for the Astros for a long time as a closer. Yeah. But man, the only run that wasn't earned is the imaginary runner that starts on second base in extra innings. That's only unearned run. Everything else was earned. There were no errors. But that's how quickly the world can change on a reliever. So I think of like Sulpizio, who started out rough. His total stats for the season may not look that great, but what he's done in the past couple of weeks is huge. I think same for Alex Hunt, a couple of the other guys, and it's like, maybe that lulls some teams to sleep when they're going down our pitching stats, because we would probably do the same thing if we saw a guy with like a 7 number next to his name coming into pitch.
Well, to tell you right now, Sulpizio came into the game with an 8.53 ERA, 2 scoreless innings, knocked him down to 6.89. So almost 2 runs just off of that, because that's how few innings he has. Even just pitching well, it drops down some.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it says a lot.
It's wild how quickly things can turn one bad night. And my goodness, you've gone from probably a no-doubter all-star to DFA this guy. Send him down. I don't even want to look at Lance McCullers yesterday. He is on his second start back pitching for the Astros after Tommy John surgery. And I looked, it was 10-0 Reds in the first inning, and I just changed the channel. So
one of the nicest human beings I think I've ever met, Lance McCullers. Like, what a dude. The Astros have a lot of really good. I saw them a lot. Their spring training was really, when I was still going to spring training, they had a really accessible spring training place, and they were always really nice too. So it was a good place to go. And yeah, Lance is one of the nicest human beings you'd ever meet in your life.
Yeah, he was unfortunately getting some death threats after the game yesterday. So I don't know if it's
crazy
gamblers or just really salty Astro fans, but
either way, yeah. It's ridiculous. It's just a baseball game.
Yes, it's crazy.
All right, Gary. I don't know this. I think we feel like we're now that we're just randomly talking about Astros players. It might be
yes. I gotta stop
to wrap it up.
Well, there is one thing I have. There's one thing I have to do real quick.
This episode of the Monarchist Podcast is brought to you by the Pride of ODU Collective. Their mission is to elevate the experience of student athletes through name, image, and likeness, while also elevating the fan experience. If you or your business are interested in getting involved, you can reach out to us directly or go over to theprideofodu.com. That is theprideofodu.com. Thank you for listening, and go Monarchs.
Yes, accurate. We did need that. Correct.
Yes, we absolutely needed that. Yes. I was stalling to see if Coach Fimba would be able to join.
Yeah, no,
I'm sure when he finds out, he's gonna be like, "Oh man, I wish I would have seen the message."
Yeah, we did let him know. Like I remember he did ask. He said there was some week he knew this was happening. So it, you know, not ideal, but it's just how stuff goes. Again, if you want things to be perfect, make sure you know, give enough to the Pride. So this is all our full-time job that we can all make it out perfect. And Gary's not off traveling wherever, cause he's fully committed to the fandom.
Yes. Just don't become important at work and you'll get to see the Coastal Series.
Yeah, exactly.
But I will be down in Montgomery for the Sunbelt tournament. So I imagine we will continue to do some live things there, coordinate that from a couple states away. Especially if these guys get in there and start winning some games,
do some good stuff. Fun. Yeah. And we're on that trajectory. Like, as you said, it's really, I mean, I think you'd be lying as a Monarch fan if you said like about three weeks, a month ago, it wasn't like, well, this is, this is how the season's gone, I guess. I mean, I've said a few times, like, I just don't think we're that good of a baseball team. And we kind of played enough games that it kind of has proved it. And now they're turning around and they're showing like, hey, we're going to play like we can and like we should have been playing all year. And yeah, it's been a tough year and you've had all these tests and all these trials. And what you're seeing, I think is, I think you said it somebody said it the other day, but it was like, this is what a battle tested team looks like. I think you said that. Yeah. There you go. I'll make sure you get the credit. Yeah. I mean, and it's the truth. It's like this is what a team that has been through the ringer looks like. And they're coming out the other side with some lessons and finding success that a team that has had it easy all year wouldn't. You know, it's one thing when you blow everybody out. You know, my buddy Pat Nichols, the coach of Green Bay Christian, an ODU baseball alum, he had the second most home runs of anybody in a season up until a few of the guys just obliterated those records. he's got his 8U team is his son Max is playing on, and they kind of blow people out. I mean, it's funny because I go out and take pictures of them, and I've taken pictures of some other folks as kids, and these 8-year-olds are like turning double plays. I mean, it does not look like 8-year-olds. Like I've seen high school teams don't play as well as they play, and they blow out kind of every game. And so, his mom Brittany had a post about a game a tournament they played last weekend where they actually lost the game, and she was like, "We were worried we hadn't really prepared them for failure." And so it was nice. She said they took it great. They weren't whining. They were just like, okay, let's go to work. And they went and won the rest of the game. And so sometimes those teams, the whole point of that long-winded story was sometimes those teams who win too much, they did not prepare for when they do lose. And so we don't have that. We have a team full of guys who are like, you know, if we lose, okay, we get down, okay. And now they've kind of learned those lessons of how to come back, how to get, and you're seeing guys step up and have success. And it's really fun to watch, man. It's been a fun few weeks here watching them win these games.
The growth has been awesome. They're also just so much tougher than they were at the beginning of the year. We have Coach Fimlet on. He would talk about toughness and attitude and work and taking accountability. And you see that now. You see guys, we're still going to strike out. We're still going to get out. We're going to get out in big moments. But it's just like it's done before they even get back to the dugout.
There's so many more foul balls in the at-bats. There's so many more fighting off pitches, getting one more pitch. I mean, before is like whiff, whiff, whiff. All right, whatever. Go back to the dugout. Like, no, it's what. Yeah, I said it to him and I said it to Hadra. I was like, it's like it took half the year for what you guys were telling them to finally sink in.
Well, today, JMU starts a guy through 36 pitches on Friday. We need to get him out of the game through 4 1/3. I think he was at 95 pitches. And we were able to get him out. We got guys on base, knocked them out of the game, and we were able to get ahead and get the hits that we needed. So it is. It's that toughness and war of attrition in the Sun Belt tournament. You can get the opposing starter to 100 pitches in the fifth inning. You're probably going to win that baseball game. And you're probably going to screw them for the rest of the tournament. So that is a good skill to have, and glad to see it coming together for him.
All right. We love it. I'm excited about it. We got our final homestand. We got the game Thursday night, Friday at 3. I made sure I was off in the afternoon so I could come over and get to see that. That's going to be our graduation day before the game. Saturday is the home finale at 1 o'clock. And that will have our senior day. So make sure if you're coming to these games, try to come out early. Graduation day is always cool because these guys obviously missed walking this weekend. You probably saw all kinds of great pictures from our sports teams of our different athletes, but they didn't get to have that. So they get to have their own walk on Friday. And then Saturday, honoring our seniors, which I think I don't even know the number. We have a ton of seniors.
We do have a ton. I'm sad that I'm going to be missing it, but get to War Memorial Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Get there, go see these guys play. And then tune into them for the Sun Belt tournament because they're going to be a very fun team to watch. So if you hopped off the bandwagon when they were like 15 games over 500, come on, plenty of room. Hop back on. Let's end the athletic season on a positive note by supporting these guys.
We are there. The last ODU athletic team playing right now.
Yes, the last ones, and they just swept JMU. So hey.
Yes, hey, and what you said, 4-0 rivalry week, beat VCU and swept three against JMU. Doesn't get much. What else can you want from an ODU sport?
I'm just glad we're recording today before anything else can come out for the rest of the day.
There we go.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This was a lot of fun. Appreciate everyone who sent their comments and messages and very inappropriate text messages. That was actually hilarious. But yes. All right. Well, CB, anything else?
Hey, go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs. I'm